Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Keep silence before to ask Reverend Sykes if she would lead us in prayer this morning. Good morning, Reverend Sykes.
Good morning, Pastor. Let us pray. Father, we humbly come before you this Christmas morning, thanking you for your son, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your loving kindness and your faithfulness unto us. We come, O God, with joy and gratefulness in our hearts this morning. Thank you for the peace. Thank you for our loved ones that are near and far. Thank you for answering all of our prayers. O God, we just ask that you would cleanse us and make us pure vessels to be used by you. O God, we ask that you would continue, O God, to give strength, O God, to those, O God, today, Father God, that our loved ones are no longer here, Father God. We ask, Amen. Father God, that you would allow your healing virtues to flow throughout this world and throughout this universe, throughout the hospitals and nursing facilities, God. Oh, God, we ask that you would continue to give us the strength, oh, God, to continue to hold your own to your unchanging hand. Oh, God, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the first and you are the last. Oh, God, you are the beginning and you are the end. And so, Father, we are rejoicing, oh, God, on this glorious Christmas morning, oh, God, because this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, God, we thank you, oh, God, for the many blessings that you have given us and that you have bestowed upon us down through the years, Father God. And, Father God, we ask that you will bless families and bless communities and bless churches and pastors and all servant leaders on this morning, Father God. We ask, O God, that you, O God, would just continue to be with us, O God. Keep us in your care, O God. O God, we just thank you, Father God, for the many miracles that you have performed in our lives, even this year, O God, because you have been good to us. You are a mighty God. You are a great God, and you are an awesome God, Father God. And so, God, we thank you this morning, and we don't take it for granted. We come this morning with an attitude of gratitude. We come this morning with a heart of thankfulness and thanksgiving, God, because we are so appreciative, God, for everything that you have done in our lives, Father God. Continue to keep us as the apple of your eye, Father God. Continue, O God, to give us the strength and the stamina and the perseverance to continue to stand strong in you, Father God, and we will forever give your name the praise, the honor, and the glory all the days of our lives. And we ask all of these petitions in the mighty and matchless and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen, amen, and thank God. Thank Reverend Sykes, amen, for leading us in prayer. Truly, it's prayer that has brought us from a mighty, mighty long way. I'm going to say that again. Truly, it's prayer that has brought us from a mighty, mighty long way. And if you don't know the God that answers prayer, Lord have mercy. We pray that before you close your lives for the last time, that you would come to know him, amen, as a prayer-answering God, that you have developed that relationship with him and that you know without a shadow of a doubt that truly God has answered your prayers and God has delivered you from the wages of sin and that God is an all-sufficient Savior. And when you come to know God that way, you know his son that way, then you can celebrate any day as a day of thanksgiving, and particularly on a day that we celebrate Christmas. And we say to God be the glory for the great things that he has done. And God has done all these things, and he has placed a song in our heart. And at this time of year, we sing so many songs about the goodness of God, about the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, and just the fellowship that we enjoy having. And so we're going to sing some of those songs this morning just to be able to go through and remember those songs that we sing. And we'll sing a verse of a few songs, amen. And then we'll have a testimony for those who join us this morning in our morning worship. I know many have gone over the hills and through the woods to grandmama's house, but we know, amen, that God has the ability to grant us traveling mercy. And so we pray for traveling mercy for those near and far. We pray that God would continue to keep them as they journey, that they will continue to trust in God, who will not leave you whatsoever years may bring. And we know that on this Sunday, we also celebrate our Communion Sunday. So we have a lot to celebrate this Sunday. And so we're just going to sing a few verses of these songs. The first song we're going to sing together is number 56, and it's a Silent Night. And then we'll just go from there to our hymnal and just remember the songs that we've sang down through the years, from being a little kid and to being older, that we remember this time of year of not only celebrating fellowship with family and friends, but giving gifts and appreciate the songs of God and the birth. So we'll start with that one, Silent Night, number 56 in your hymnal, and we'll go from there. Silent night, holy night, all is bright round young virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly and heavenly peace. And we go to the next one, Away in a Manger. Away in a manger, no room for a crib. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep in the hay. And the next one is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With the angels host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. And then the next one is, oh come all ye faithful, oh come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, oh come ye, oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, cry the Lord. Joyful, joyful, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. So we like singing those songs during the Christmas season, just to thank God for knowing that the birth of God gives us a song in our heart. And I don't know about you, amen, but I thank God for giving us a song this morning in our hearts that we would sing in appreciation to what God has done on his birthday on a Communion Sunday. It's so cold outside, but because of what God has done, he has warmed our hearts and our spirits as we rejoice and we give praise to our God, because truly God is worthy. I'm going to say that again. God is worthy of all our praise. And so we thank God for that. And so we're going to go to our worshipers this morning that tuned in on the phone lines. And we're going to see their testimony on this Christmas morning. And so we're going to go to our first worshiper, last four digits, 1741. 1741, good morning and Merry Christmas.
Good morning. Merry Christmas, Pastor Kason. First Lady Kason in the Heart of God Baptist Church. I praise God this morning for this beautiful, blessed Christmas morning. Thank God for bringing us through one more year and celebrating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's birth. Give him glory, honor, and praise. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit this morning. And I wish your family and the Heart of God Baptist Church family and my family, our community and our friends, and loved ones, a very merry, merry Christmas and a prosperous and a blessed new year. And we thank God for bringing us through. And I just want to share with our church family that there will be no morning meditation with Jesus Prayer Line on Tuesday, December the 27th. We will not have morning prayer at 6, but we will resume on January the 3rd. 2023. God bless you all. We love you and take care.
Amen, amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 0025. Good morning. Merry Christmas.
Good morning, Pastor, First Lady, everyone. Merry Christmas to all. Truly, I thank God this morning for his grace and his mercy. God has truly shown himself mightily in my life and in the life of my family and church family and Pastor and First Lady throughout this whole year. And so I'm grateful to God for what he has done and what he's doing and what he's going to do in the future for us. And so I just thank God this morning. I bless his name this morning. I praise his name this morning because there is none like him. And so I thank him this morning with my whole heart, mind, and spirit. And so I say to you, God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year, and I love you, and please stay safe.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Now we're going to go to our First Lady this morning. Good morning, First Lady. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to all, and I pray that everyone is having a blessed time with family and friends today, and I thank the Lord for waking us up this morning to see a beautiful day. It may be cold on the outside, but it's warm on the inside. Thank the Lord for the heat, and thank the Lord for the fellowship that he has given us throughout the years. And the Lord has been good to Heart of God Baptist Church. We are already past our 19 years. Thank the Lord, hallelujah, 19 years, and we're still moving on. I look forward to the new year and what Lord has in store for us at Heart of God Baptist Church. Now I'm going to, you all have a blessed one. I love you. Don't eat too much, but have fun with your family. Now I'm going to turn it over to Janice.
Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to say Merry Christmas, and that I hope that everybody has a great day and enjoys family and fellowship with everyone. And just keep in mind that Jesus is the reason for the season. Love you all.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We're going to go to our next worshiper. Last four digits, 7611. 7611. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. It's the Lord of the I had all intention of sleeping today because the Lord gave me a day for bringing me to let me stay here for a long time and see another Christmas today. And I was just about to keep my eyes closed, and the Lord said to me and touched my eyes and said, you've been so good to me that I had to turn that little bed around and walk into this phone and get on this mind and call God and said, thank you, Father, for being so good to me that you have brought me a mighty long way. I'm so proud of the devil always try to keep me from getting to you. And I'm so thankful, Father, that you kept my eyes open and my hand on my phone, and I ran over to the phone and called God. I said, thank you, God, for letting me get on my feet and open my eyes up and give me another brand new day above this ground. I said, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We thank everybody for their testimony, amen, about the goodness of God, because truly God is good. I know that, amen. I thank First Lady for reminding us, amen, for 19 years, amen, he's blessed us. That means we're going on 20 years, which is an awesome thing to know that the Holy Spirit has met us every day that we have been together and has guided us, and so we have a lot to be thankful for. Truly, amen, we ought to give him praise and honor for what he's done in the life of our church, our church family, our extended family members. We know that God has been good. And I always laugh when people say God is good. I said, not only is God good, but God said he was good himself. He's mad when he created the earth and did it in man in 7 days. And he looked back and he said, not only is it good, but it's very good. So if God says it's very good, Lord have mercy, we ought to say it's very, very good. Amen. So we thank God for being so good. We've had some ups and we had some downs. Amen. We had some trials and we've had some tribulations. But God has brought us, amen, to another Christmas. Amen. Another time where we can say thank you, God, for just allowing us to be able to make it one more time. First Lady said it was, thank God for the heat, amen. Thank God for the fellowship, amen. And thank God for the food. She said don't eat too much, amen. But we got food, we got fellowship, we got heat, we got friends, we got family, we got Jesus. We got a whole lot to be thankful for, amen. I laugh at the folks out there, amen, out there in the cold weather with no shirts on going to the football game, amen. I ain't going to worship the football gods. I like football, but I ain't going to go out there with no shirt on, amen, in the frigid temperatures. But we thank God, amen, for the football, amen, and in all that God has given us. God said he came that we have life and we have it more abundantly. And so we just want to remember, as we get ready to go to the prayer, go in prayer, amen. Remember those family and friends, amen, our missing loved ones, those that are in war-torn countries, amen, around the world. We know that there's been some challenges in all of our lives. And so I'm going to ask Reverend Lindsay to get ready to lead us in prayer. But remember our church family, those who are traveling, those who are journeying near and far, those that are celebrating Christmas wherever they are around the world. Remember our men and women in uniform. I reminded my dad in the military, we're a military family. We traveled all around the world, different continents. And on Christmas, we would go to the different barracks and the different places where the troops and the soldiers were. Many times they were missing their loved ones, and we would try to come and cheer them up and say Merry Christmas to them and sit down and eat dinner or breakfast or lunch with them and let them know that we appreciated them. And so on this Christmas day, appreciate our men and women in uniform all over the world, keeping us safe there in the air and in the seas and the land while we enjoy the peace of this country. Remember the war-torn countries all over the world. Remember the sick, shut-in, the bereaved, the homeless folk. Amen. Pray that God would continue to station angels and people around them that show of his love and his kindness, his grace and his mercy. And during this season, give someone a smile every now and then and let them know, amen, the cheer of the season that's in you and the reason for your hope, your reason for your joy because of God's Son, and that God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And so, as Janice said, Jesus is the reason for the season. And as we remember and we rejoice and celebrate him, that we will pass this on. And so I ask Reverend Lindsay to get ready to lead us in prayer. Reverend Lindsay.
Let us pray. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. who has set thy glory above the heavens. Father God, we come this morning with grateful and thankful hearts, thanking you, O God, that you, Lord Jesus, look beyond our faults this morning, and you saw our needs. And Lord knows, you know that we needed a Savior. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for your glory and your presence. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this coming. Coming, Father God, that we might have life and life more abundantly. We thank you, Father God. We thank you for sending your darling son, Jesus. We thank you for blessing us with your spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father God, because not only you gave us Jesus and your power of the Holy Spirit, but you gave us your word of promise. And so we thank you, Father God. We thank you this morning. We bless you and we praise you. We say hallelujah to you. We thank you for this beautiful Christmas morning that you allow us to see another year's journey, oh God. And then, Father God, we thank you for another communion Sunday, oh God.
Yeah,
we thank
yeah.
you, Father God, that we are able to partake of the blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your precious blood that you shed for us. And then, Father God, we thank you because you gave us a right to eternal life, and we thank you for that too. And, Father God, we ask now that you would look on every heart, oh, Father God. And, Father God, if you see anything this morning that's not pleasing, we ask, Father, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as you cleanse us, Father God, we pray that you will fill us with more and more of your Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
more and more of your love, Lord Jesus. We thank you for how you blessed and keep us throughout the week. In spite of what we went through, you were faithful. You never failed us, oh God. You brought us through, Lord Jesus. And for that, we are eternal grateful. We thank you because you looked on this branch of Zion, the Heart of God Baptist
yeah.
Church, and you've given us 19, almost 20 years,
yeah.
oh God, that we're
yeah.
working on. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Father. We thank you that you didn't fail us, oh God, in spite of what we went through, in spite of what it seemed like. Father God, you were always there, and we thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, for
thank
our
you.
Servant, your servant. Pastor Kason, we thank you, Father God, for how you have kept him, how you have brought him throughout these many years, oh God. You have not failed him. You have been with him, even, Father God, through the darkest hour, oh God. You was right there. And we thank you, Father God, that you have touched his body, how you have healed him, how you have brought him through, Father God. And, Father God, you made a way out of nowhere. We thank you for our servant. We thank you for our pastor this morning. We thank you, Father God, for how you have blessed him and kept him, oh God. And I pray in Jesus' name that you continue to be his strength. Continue to give him divine inspiration. Continue to let your Holy Spirit speak through him, oh God, that it might encourage your people, Father God. And then, Father God, we pray for First Lady Kason. We pray that you continue to bless her, oh God. Continue to put a shield around her, oh God. Bless her going out and her coming in, oh God. We pray for the first family, oh God. We pray that you will look on them in a special manner, oh God. And then, Father God, we pray for the heart of God this morning in its entirety. We pray, Father God, for every member that you have placed in this body. Oh God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will meet their needs today, Father God. Father God, we pray for those that are tuned in through the other means of communication. Father God, I pray that you will just bless them, oh God. Father God, through your preached word, Father God, that you will draw somebody to you today, Father. Through your preached word today, oh God, that somebody will come to know you as Lord and Savior. They will come to know with you, Lord Jesus, nothing is impossible. And Father God, we pray for those that are sick and shut in. We pray for Dick and Bryce this morning, oh God. We pray that you continue to be her help and her strength. Continue to look on her family, oh God. Bless in a special way this Christmas, oh God. We pray, Father God, for sick people everywhere. Those that are in hospitals, those that are in nursing homes, those that are convalescing at home. We pray that you will continue to look on them this morning. And then, Father God, we pray for bereaved families, Father God, that you will be the comforter to them. Father God, many people have places that persons will not be at the table today, oh God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you will just touch their hearts, warm their spirits, oh God. healed them, oh God. Father God, let them know that you are that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And then, oh God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will look on those that are in military, oh God, that go away that we might have peace, oh God. Go away, Father God. Father God, that we might be able to enjoy, Father God, fellowship with our family. Bless their families, oh God, for the sacrifice that they make, Lord Jesus. Yeah. And then, Father God, not only we pray for military, but we pray for our policemen, our firemen. We pray for our nurses and our doctors. We pray, oh God, mm-hmm. that you continue to look on mankind everywhere. Father God, so many people go through oppression and depression this time of year, oh God. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just come in and be that peacemaker in their heart. Let them know that thou art the hope of the earth, oh God. Let them know, Father God, that you got everything that they need, that you are the all-sufficient Savior. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Let them know this morning, Lord Jesus, that you came and you died, Lord Jesus, because you loved them, Father God. And Lord Jesus, I ask, Father God, that you will speak peace to their soul. And Father God, as some go through bereavement, as some be brokenhearted, as some, Father God, are so worried, don't know how they're going to eat, where they're going to live, or what they're going to do this Christmas, oh God. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will just be that comforter and that strength, that healing virtue that they need, Father God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for every blessing. Thank you for every benefit. Thank you for every sacrifice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for just being God and God all by yourself. Thank you, Father God, because you never fail us, oh God. Even when our backs was against the wall, hallelujah, Jesus, you were right there. You were right on time, God. And so we bless you this morning. We say hallelujah to you this morning. And Father God, as we pack up your bread and your wine today, oh God, speak to our hearts and remind us, Lord Jesus, that there is a hope in serving a true and a living God, that one day, Lord Jesus, that you are going to come back, and you're going to come back and redeem us, Father, your church, oh God. Let us know, Lord Jesus, that it's not here on this earth, Father God, but we got a better place, hallelujah, Jesus, in glory, oh God. Help us to hold on, Father, to your unchanging hand. Oh God, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you, and we ask your blessings this day, Father, upon mankind everywhere, oh God, that you will meet their every need according to your riches and glory through your darling Son, Christ Jesus. And we give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, and amen. We thank Reverend Lindsay for fervent prayer, amen. God, amen, is a prayer-answering God. And that he has kept us down through the years. We thank God for being that Savior, all-sufficient Savior, for being able when all things seemed like we weren't able to do it. God gave us the strength, and we are able to make it through. So we thank God for the prayers of the righteous avail as much. And we continue to give God the honor, the glory, and the praise that he so richly deserves. And we want to go to the Word of God today. We want to look at words that the Apostle Paul wrote in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians. And we want to look at that book. Because it talks about the grace of God, and it talks about the power of the blood of God. And because of the grace of God and the blood of God, we can celebrate Christmas. And God gave us his only begotten Son. When you look at the gospel of Jesus and on the third chapter, in verse 16, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And the reason God gave us this gift was because of what Paul wrote in Romans, the third chapter, verse 23. He said, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And because of this fallen man, and because God loved him, amen, God gave his son. And so this is what we celebrate Christmas, is the birth of this son. And the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah the 9th chapter and verse 6, he says, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so all of this occurred, all of this came about because of man's condition, his fallen condition that he lost in the Garden of Eden. When God in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, told man to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that he would eat of it, he would surely die. And the book of Genesis, third chapter, verse 15, God put enmity between the man, the woman, the man and his seed, and the enemy, Satan and his seed. So God put in a plan after man's fail in the garden to bring him back into the right relationship with God. And we thank God that he looked past our fault and saw our need and put this plan into action. And so that leads us to Paul's writing in the book of Ephesians, the second chapter of the book of Ephesians, where Paul explains to man the condition that he was actually in and what God actually did. And so when you understand the condition that you were in, or the condition that I was in, and what depths and what lengths God went through to bring us back into that right relationship, we celebrate Christmas in a different way. We celebrate the death, the birth, and the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus in a different way. Because Paul also wrote in Romans, the 6th chapter, in verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we see this plan from the book of Genesis that God has put into place, that the promise of the son that is born, the child that is given, to be able to bring us back into the right relationship with God, because of our sinfulness and because of our shortcoming. And so Paul, he wrote this book of Ephesians to let us know what has happened and what God has done. And Paul didn't write from a self-righteous position, but he wrote in 1 Timothy, the 15th verse, where he said that he's chief sinner of all. And he wrote from the position of realizing his shortcoming. And so because of what God has done, we can celebrate and we can tell people about what God has done in spite of us, that God looked past our fault and see our need. And so that's why I like this letter, one of the prison epistles of Paul, that he is writing to the church of Ephesus to let them know that in spite of the trials and the tribulations, and in spite of the ups and downs, that we still can be thankful for what God has done. And so I say that to us this morning, this Christmas morning, amen, that in spite of what you've gone through, and in spite of the years of dealing with COVID, in spite of the years of dealing with ups and downs in your physical and spiritual life, in spite of the things that have gone on in your family, in spite of the things that are going on in the world, in spite of the challenges that we have, we are facing now or going to face, we still can praise God. We still can give God the glory. And so Paul rehearses this in the second chapter of Ephesians. He lets us know that we've got some grace and that we've got some mercy. And I don't know about you, but I thank God on Christmas Day for his grace and his mercy. And we thank God that Jesus was born so that he could die for the sins of the world, and be buried and be raised victorious over death and the grave. And so to understand that blessing that we had, that a child was born to die, a child was born to suffer, a child was born to bleed, a child was born to redeem us from our sin. But not only was he born to die, but he was born to bear the sins of the world, and that he was buried, and that he was resurrected, and that he was alive forevermore. And because of this, we can celebrate Christmas on any day, that we can celebrate Christmas, and particularly this time of year, because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so Paul celebrates this in the second chapter of Ephesians. We're just going to read down that the Lord says so, amen, and we're going to rejoice in what God has done. And in Ephesians, the second chapter, Paul writes these words, Ephesians 2, verse 1. And he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses of sin." In other words, Paul says that God has made a change in our life. He quickened us from being dead to being alive, because we were dead in our trespasses and sin. In verse 2 of Ephesians 2, he said, "Where in time past ye walked through the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." And so Paul lets us know that we were once far away from God, following the rules and the ways of Satan, the prince of the power of the air that works in the spirit of disobedience. And in verse 3, it says, "Among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." In other words, God said there was a time when we weren't saved. There was a time that we weren't faithful. There was a time where we walked as the children of wrath. There was a time, amen, that we followed Satan and his ways and the powers of this world. There was a time, amen, that we were without God. Lord have mercy. There was a time where we were in that category of the lost and on the way to hell. But when you look at that verse 4, Lord have mercy, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." In other words, this is this love that John 3:16 talks about, that God so loved us, that God loved us and God had so much mercy on us, and that God was rich in mercy. And as Paul looks back over his life, he realizes that he hadn't always done right. He looks back over his life and realizes he hadn't always done the things that were pleasing in the sight of God. He looks back over his life and he tells Timothy in that first chapter of the book of Timothy in verse 15 and he says, amen, that he hadn't always did what God wanted him to do, and that he was the chiefest sinner among them, and because of this, he could write this letter and say, there was a time when we didn't have God. There was a time we were dead in our trespasses of sin. There was a time, amen, where we were far away from God, but because of God's love, but because of God's grace and his mercy, amen, we can come close to God again. And so if we look at Ephesians, the second chapter in verse 5, it says, "Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved." And in verse 6 it says, "And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And we understand, amen, that God has raised us up and God has placed us to be able to sit in heavenly places. In other words, he has changed our outcome. He has changed our position. He has given us a new lease on life. And in verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding richness of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, God said that he's going to show us what he's done. In other words, we might know a little bit right now, but when we get to know him for sure in the heavenly places, we'll know about his kindness. We'll know about his exceeding riches. We'll know about his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on and says in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And so we understand that we give gifts, amen, during this holiday season. We give gifts to each other. We celebrate the birth of God, Christ. We celebrate the love that we have for each other. But we have to recognize, amen, the gift of God. We have to recognize, amen, that Jesus is the reason for the season. We understand that the greatest gift that has been given is the gift of God's only begotten Son. And when you recognize the greatest gift that God has been given, in other words, we didn't deserve it, we didn't earn it, but it was a gift, an unmerited favor that God blessed us with. In verse 9, it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. In other words, there's nothing we could do to deserve it, but God just loved us enough that he gave it to us anyway. We thank God today, amen, for the gift of Jesus Christ. We thank God today that he looked past our faults and saw our needs. We thank God today, amen, that God had so much grace and God had so much mercy on us that we can stand today and celebrate Christmas and celebrate what God has done, that he looked past our faults and saw our needs. Paul recognized, like we recognize, that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so as we celebrate today and we give the greatest gift, we give the greatest gift that could ever be given, be grateful for his grace, be grateful for his mercy, be grateful for his love, be grateful for his kindness, be grateful for everything that he's done through in our lives down through the years. And so he goes on to explain this in verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. And in verse 11, he says, wherefore remember that ye are being in past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hand. He says that at that time you are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, without God in the world. Oh, my God. He lets us know how bad we were all, that we were strangers from the promises of God, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And so we're going to stop right there, and we're going to thank God, amen, that we are no longer far off, that we are no longer without hope, that we are no longer strangers from the commonwealth of God, but we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And I don't know about you, my brothers and sisters, but the greatest gift that I've ever seen, the greatest gift that has ever been given to me. And I've had some good gifts down through the years, but the greatest gift can't be bought on Amazon. The greatest gift, come on now, can't be bought at a Home Depot. The greatest gift can't be bought at a guitar center. The greatest gift can't be bought at a Walmart or a JCPenney's. Come on now. The greatest gift can't be bought, good God Almighty, at a Toys R Us. The greatest gift can't be given by a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. The greatest gift can't be bought on a MasterCard or Visa or American Express. The greatest gift, great God from Zion, can't be made by your hands or my hands. But the greatest gift of Christmas, is given by the holy and righteous God our Father. The record declared that the greatest gift was given by God himself, because the record declares that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The greatest gift was the Son of God. The record declares that his name is Jesus, the one and only Son of God, Mary's baby, the lily of the valley. The record declared by the prophet Isaiah that to us is born a child, to us is born a son, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I'm talking about the greatest gift is the gift of Jesus. And Jesus gave us the greatest gift because the record declares there is a fountain filled with blood, filled from Emmanuel's name, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, wash away all their guilty stains. And so Paul says in Ephesians, and the 13th verse, that we are now in Christ Jesus, who are sometimes far off, made nigh by the blood of Christ. Aren't you glad today that we're able to say that we've been given the greatest gift? The greatest gift is the Son of God and his shed blood. Aren't you glad today that the blood doesn't lose its power? So in the gifts that you've gotten this year from Amazon, from Macy's, from Bed and Bath, from MasterCard and Visa, from your boogums, from your husband, your wife, your children, whoever gave you the gift, aren't you glad when those gifts are no longer around, when those gifts have been used up, that you still have the everlasting gift from the everlasting Father, the Son of God, who shed his only begotten Son's blood, the blood, the blood, the blood of Jesus. The record says it will never, it will never lose its power. The blood, the greatest gift that brought us back into the right relationship with God, that wiped away your guilt and stain, that wiped away the tears from your eyes. The blood of Jesus that took him from glory to Calvary to the grave to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because of the blood, the gift of Jesus, we can celebrate Christmas Day after day after day, because we know that his blood has washed us. His blood will cleanse us day after day. And if you get dirty again, we can go and ask God that we can be washed and renewed, because he says in his word, amen, that God is the only one that can keep you, that can wash you, that can make you anew again. Because of the sin of this world, we can say, God, I thank you that if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every day we can take a plunge beneath the blood and ask God for forgiveness. The greatest gift is the gift that keeps on giving. I'm getting ready to leave you alone, but if you have a gift that keeps on giving, it never needs a battery. It never needs the charge. It never needs a redoing. It never needs a makeover. But the gift that keeps on giving is the gift that covers us in the blood of God, because God no longer looks at us in our own righteousness, but he looks at us through the righteousness of the blood of Jesus. Aren't you glad today that you got a gift that keeps on giving, that you got a gift that saves your soul, that you got lot of gifts. When someone asks what you got for Christmas, you say, I've got Jesus, and that's enough. Why? Because I got a gift that will never lose its power. I got a gift that never needs recharging. I've got a gift that when Christmas Day is gone, it still gives me hope. It still gives me joy. It still gives me peace. It still has the ability to heal my body. Aren't you glad today that the record says that by his stripes we are healed? I'm talking about a gift, a wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the one who knows every hair on your head. Aren't you glad today when you don't have a dime, you still got Jesus, you still got the Lord, you still got the salvation. You're no longer a stranger, but you've been brought close. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you glad today when you take down the tree and put away the ornaments? You still got Jesus. You still got the Lord. You still got the greatest, the greatest, the greatest gift that was ever given, and that's the Son of God. The Son of God who shed his blood that we might have right, that we might have life, and that we would have the right to eternal life. And so when you look back over your life and you thank God for his grace and his mercy, don't forget to thank him for the blood of Jesus that washed away your sins, that made you whole again, that it was nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so as we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul went back and said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, but there is a gift of God. There's grace and mercy that will look past my fault and see our needs, and that no longer will be looked at through our own righteousness, but will be looked at through the righteous blood of Jesus. And so we have a lot to celebrate today. We celebrate his birth. We celebrate his death. We celebrate his resurrection. We celebrate the blood that was shed for the remission of sins of many, that we too might have the right to eternal life through the blood of Jesus. And so that's an exciting time. It's an exciting time, and we have to live like we know God. We have to live like we know that we're covered in his blood. We have to be an example, not just on this day, but throughout the year, amen, that we would let people know, amen, that this is a gift that keeps on giving. You don't have to wait around for December 25th or whatever day you celebrate Christmas on, but we can celebrate any day, any time, because the blood never loses its power. Isn't that good news? Aren't you glad? He might not got everything on your list. You might not have got anything underneath your tree, but as long as you got Jesus, Lord have mercy, you've got the greatest gift. Amen? The greatest gift is God's love for us that he gave his only begotten son. So we don't have to worry, amen, about the power, the penalty of sin, because he defeated death in the grave, amen, and he arose with all power in his hand, amen. And those that believe in him, those that have trusted him by faith and have accepted his grace by faith, amen, will be called home one day, amen, to meet him in the air, amen, to be called from labor to reward, amen, and to be made ruler over many because of the greatest gift that God has ever given this world, amen. And that is his son, Jesus Christ. And so if you ask, what in the world is the sermon for today? Amen. Just ask the question, amen, the gift that keeps on giving, amen. Jesus is that gift that keeps on giving. So we thank God on this day. We want you to enjoy your holidays, amen. And don't worry about this world because God knows what's going on in this world. And you have some challenges in your life. But no, amen, God has already overcome the world, amen, and he knows how much we can bear, and he promised that he would be with us always, even until the end of the world, amen. And so we thank God for that. And that's going to bring us, amen, to on this Christmas Day, the fourth Sunday in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ, to our Communion Sunday, amen. And as we celebrate that gift that keeps on giving, we're going to remember what this gift did by shedding his blood. Amen. So I thank the Apostle Paul for writing that second chapter of the book of Ephesians. It talks about Jesus and talks about his blood and talks about us being far off and us being redeemed. So it's appropriate on this day that we celebrate his birth, that we also recognize his life, recognize his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and what it all meant, amen, because of this gift that God has given us, amen. So as you think about our communion service, amen, this is the 12th one in the year of our Lord, 2022, amen, that God has blessed us with this 12th one, amen. And a lot has gone on in this year, and we thank God that even through the ups and the downs and the challenges and all that we've gone through this year, that he's blessed us to see another one on Christmas Day, amen. We thank God, amen, that someone, amen, shared the goodness of Jesus with us somewhere in our life, amen. And God has come to our life and come into our life, and we remember his sacrifice. We remember his body and his blood. And so as we come to this, we'll ask God's blessing on these ornaments, on these elements, amen, on the bread and on the cup of the fruit of the vine. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we thank you, God, for the gift that keeps on giving. We thank you, God, for allowing us to come to this 12th communion service in the year of our Lord 2022, and we look forward to the year of our Lord 2023. So, Father, we pray that you have blessed this bread that symbolizes your body that was broken. Oh, God, we pray that you have blessed this cup of the fruit of the vine that symbolizes your blood that was shed for remission of sin of many. As we, God, go and do what you left on record to do, we ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Jesus, when he came to the end of his earthly ministry and to observe the Passover the last time, he sat down with his disciples and they observed the Passover of, instituted by Moses, where they took blood and an innocent animal and placed it on the doorpost and the lintel. As the tenth plague came, the death angel would see the blood and he would pass over and he would spare all those that were covered in the blood. When he saw the blood, he would spare their lives. And so they remembered and they instituted and they did this Passover until Jesus instituted a new covenant, a new promise in his blood. And as he sat down with his disciples, he took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. Let us eat together. And in like manner, he took the cup of the fruit of the vine. He said, this is my blood, which is shed for the remission of sin. It's new covenant in my blood. He says, often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together. Amen. And the record declared that they did not with a benediction, but they simply went out in the Mount of Olives and they sang a hymn. So as you sing a hymn, as we sang so many hymns this morning, you go out into your Mount of Olives, amen. Remember that Jesus is the reason for the season and that he is the gift that keeps on giving and it is the blood that never loses its power. So we pray, God, that you would bless you through the rest of this year, that you would have an awesome day today with your family and friends as you celebrate Christmas, amen, and that you will remember the birth of Christ, amen, that you will remember what it all means, and that you will remember, amen, to share it with someone else. And with that, we say God bless you and heaven ever smile upon you. Have a great holiday. Prayerfully, we'll see you on Christmas Day, amen, on New Year's Day, next year. God bless you.